I know how it goes. Got Brother Gabbard, man of God, afternoon speaker. Got Brother Neil Bridges, I mean, preacher to the lost deluxe, morning guy, climbed out from under a rock. Hallelujah, I see your life. I can see that. Really glad you're here. This is kind of one of them electives where you can decide whether you're going to be here or not. And I appreciate you being here. Got some more of our friends that's come in to be in the meeting. And just really appreciate it. Good to see the Tabers pull in here. They're members of our church. They're gone a lot. They're true members of our church. It didn't take them long. It didn't take them but about a year to figure that out. But just really appreciate them. And Brother Don Ingram sitting over there, he's my friend. He really is. And I only joke and kid around with people that are my friends. You know, if I'm real quiet around you, I don't like you. But appreciate you so very much. Got this little thing here that I want to talk about. Sunday morning, for those of you and for some that's already aware of the little ladder deal, Sunday morning opened up with a message that a partner closed with out at Granite City. But I opened up with a message about the fact that Daniel in all of his trials and Daniel in all of his problems was always faithful to the open window. He was a keeper of the window. And on Sunday, I made mention of the fact that sometimes it's not what we see when we climb up there and look out that window, but it's the fact that God sees us at the window that he blesses us. I mean, sometimes I look out there across that and I don't see nothing but desert, sand, and wind-blown dreams. And God looks down through that window while I'm standing there feeling sorry for myself. And he sees faithfulness and rewards it with his blessings. And so I use the ladder in just of a small illustration about that you need to keep it with you. You need to keep it with you because you never know when you're going to need to go up to that window. Okay? That's what the ladder was about Sunday. It's kind of about that today, not just exactly, but it's kind of about that today. I want to read you one verse, and just to be honest with you, I didn't just toil and fight about this thing. I was concerned and I was alarmed, and I still am to a certain degree because there's some messages that are very, very, they're very hard, they're tough to preach, because to really preach the message, you have to open yourself up and let people look inside. And sometimes while you're preaching with yourself opened up inside, it lets people see things that your smiles can't cover and your humor can't cover. Sometimes it's very personable. It's very personable. There's people at the Calvary Pentecostal Tabernacle that know more about me than my mom. They know more about me. And they have watched at different times when I walked up behind the pulpit, and instead of standing there putting Windex on the window, making it shine and making it crystal clear, they've watched me go up there and knock out that window. Just knock it out. So there was nothing between me and my congregation. And sometimes, let me read a verse. I'm in Galatians chapter number 6. It's good to have my wife here today. Brother Gabbard told her she's going to have to get back over here after yesterday. So I will be on my best behavior. Oh, yeah. I will be on my best behavior. I mean, I only have one behavior, and I reckon it's best. But some of the young folks have moved up a little closer. They told me they did. Moved up a little closer. I just love young folks. I really do, you know. But they very seldom ever sleep through a service when you're walking around carrying a ladder. Some people amaze you what they can sleep through. But I'm in Galatians chapter number 6. And, Had button trouble last night. My suit button. I had button trouble. You know, Sister Bessie, I had button trouble, remember, at Granite City. I walked up there and looked down, and I had a button missing off my sleeve, so I jerked one off the other one so it looked the same. When you can't put it on, then you pull it off. Okay? And so last night I told my wife, I said, there's something white on my suit. No, she said, I got it pressed, and I've run that little dooflicky over the top of it and got all them little old puzz balls and stuff like that. I said, there's something white on the front of that suit. And so when I put it on, the white on the front of the suit was the button. The button had broken. And it was white on the inside. Why do they make white buttons and then spray paint them black? Why don't they just, I mean, you could wear it broke if it wasn't white. And so I looked at her in desperation. She looked at me. I mean, she didn't have a skirt that would go with my outfit. So I said, we're going to have to do something about this thing. So I went over to the closet. There's several suits in the closet there that Brother Horton has outgrown. And they had buttons on them. And my wife said, what are you fixing to do? And I said, I'm fixing to get a button. And I said, we'll put it back when we're done with it. So I got it down, and she was sitting over there at the chair with that little look on her face like an armadillo when a semi is bearing down on her. She said, oh, and I mean, I'm getting ready to gut that thing. I'm going to get that button off her. And I don't know why. I just reached down there in the pocket, and he had an extra button in that. Saved it. I was kind of looking forward to cutting it off myself. But anyway, so I come to church last night. Did you notice one of them buttons wasn't the same as all the rest of them buttons? Did you notice that? Shouldn't have left the broken one on there, I guess. I don't. But Galatians 6, verse 5, for every man shall bear his own burden. When Brother Gabbard got up here and went to talking about revival, and then he got up here and he got to talking about yesterday some of the issues that he was dealing with, and he ran through things about Lot and run through things about different things, I was really amazed, because I went back home and some of the very notes that I'd had was dealing with some of that stuff. And I don't think that's happen chance. I don't think it is. I think there is a flow, and when preachers are in fellowship and one accord, then they can complement each other's ministry instead of compete with each other's ministry. And I was already going to speak to us about the need of another Pentecost, and I may do that before the week is out. And I was going to speak to, well, I'm not going to tell you, because things is a-changing. But last night, when I finally did decide to lay down and go to bed, and this morning when I got up, this just kept rolling over and over and over in my mind. And so I'm just going to talk to you today about something. I want to talk to you about this revival that Brother Gabbard's talking about, and the souls getting saved last night in the wonderful message that Brother Bridges absolutely the way that Brother Horton introduced him today, of putting everything that he had into that service, it fell right into what I'm going to talk to you about today. If we're going to have that revival, and if we're going to see them souls saved, and we're going to be blessed, and if we are really going to put our shoulder to the wheel, if we're going to take that verse in Chronicles that we just quote up one side now and the other, if my people, which are called by my name, if we're going to do that, we're going to have to do it with a burden. We're going to have to do it with a burden. Now, I don't know what you carried to church with you. I don't know if you had any intentions whatsoever of getting up close to that window today. I don't have the slightest idea. I mean, this may be the week that you catch up on your meals. I don't have the slightest idea. But I know this one thing. If you came into the service today without a burden, then there's a 90% chance that you are here to be entertained instead of you entertaining. If we didn't come into the house of God today with a burden, then evidently something in the back of our mind said, I'm going to let somebody else do this. I'm going to let somebody else work through this. I'm going to let somebody else sing this. I'm going to let somebody else do it. But if you walk through the door today with a burden, then you came, every one of you, you came carrying different sizes, but you came into this room today carrying what it takes to get up there to where the presence of God is. You have to have a burden. You have to have a burden. Well, I thought all you need to do is be saved. You have to have a burden. These gentlemen that came last night, and these ladies that came last night and walked down that aisle and threw themselves there across that altar, was they there because of Brother Bridges' suit? Do you think that his tie and his shoes is what captivated them? Or was it when he stood up here behind the pulpit and poured his heart out across it down the aisle until part of it ran across the aisle? Or was it the burden that he had when he stepped up here behind this pulpit? I'm telling you, when preaching for some fellers, when preaching becomes just a means of attaining our next offering, please, please get out of the way. Please get out of the way. Please, please. Hey, hello. How'd the meeting go? It went great. You have good crowds? Yeah. Did you preach them high? Now, what does that mean? Just tell me what that means. Well, it means, did you preach them until they were happy? Very seldom. What's that mean? Did you preach them until you felt like you had just had a shot of some kind of energy drink? When you left the pulpit, did you walk out of the pulpit feeling like you're the man? Did you preach them high? I'm just honest with you as I can possibly be. I don't know where they come up with some of that stuff. I don't know where they come up with it. I don't know. Hello, yeah. Oh, we had a good meeting. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, had good crowds and everything. But yeah, they received me an offering. What do you mean? Did they help you out? What's that mean? I'm telling you, I'm having to raise the window shades here and let you look into some areas that is very, very embarrassing for me to think that I actually have some friends that the only reason that they're interested in the meeting you just had was to find out how much money was in the offering. Did they help you out? What's that mean? What's that mean? Well, I mean, did they help you out? Yeah, I had some folks hollering amen. I had some folks hollering glory be to God. Well, that's not what I was talking about. I know that's not what you're talking about. I know it's not. And that's why they're not helping you. And that's why your meetings fall about as flat as an artificial flower. You walk into the house of God and you have everything spit shined and polished. The message is memorized all the way down to the paper clips. But when you walk into that pulpit, you ain't got one of these. And when you give an altar call, you don't have one of these. And when you sing your songs, you don't have one of these. And you're not going to have a revival until you get one of these and carry it. You've got to have a burden. You got to have one. You got to have one. I'm telling you, Brother Hudson, some of you fellers, Brother Bridges, some of these older preachers, they know. They know when me and my wife first stepped out on the scene, that they heard about those first illustrations. They know. I mean, brother Floyd Parks out at Bristow, when I walked across the campground that one day with a bunch of stuff under my arm, he said, "If you preach an illustrated message here, it will be the first illustrated message that's ever been preached out here at Bristow, as far as I can remember." And I didn't know if that was supposed to scare me, change me, or pat me on the back. I didn't know what it was. So I just went right on into the tabernacle, carrying my ladder, and got right up in the pulpit. And I don't mean this to sound derogatory to some of my friends, but there were nights at camp meetings and youth camps that when the service was over, some of the preachers on the board got together to decide whether I was really anointed or if that illustration was revelings and such like. What? What? I mean, just because I wasn't baked in your oven, does that mean that the burden is any different? I mean, just because I'm from Missouri, does that mean that I can't step up in a pulpit down in Georgia and feel a burden, Brother Buddy? I mean, I've stood right there. Me and my wife, we stood right there in their church. They don't run 100 people. They don't have a great big church. But I tell you what, when we were down there, we had a burden. And we had a move of God. And we had a blessing. And we got an invitation to come back. I'm telling you, brother, sister, Brother Gabbard is absolutely right. We got to have a burden. I mean, a revival. And Brother Billy Ray Hudson, absolutely right. And Brother Bridges, we got to have souls saved. But that ain't going to happen until you want to have that revival for yourself. That ain't going to happen until you want to have a move of God for yourself. And you're not going to get that way until you come to church with a burden. You got to have a burden. Yeah. Now tell me something, Jeremiah.
What?
Tell me something. Why would you choose to put a yoke around your neck and preach to a rebellious people? Well, I do it, he said, because I have a burden. Paul, why would you, with thorns in the flesh, continue killing yourself for the gospel's sake? He did it because them thorns in the flesh were just part of his burden. Why would you, Jeremiah, not sit down and lick your wounds and tell them that it's a rebellious people and they won't listen to me, and so I'm just going to sit down and quit? But what was it? What was it that welled up on the inside of Jeremiah? And the only way he could describe it was, I feel a fire in there. Now listen, the Holy Ghost hadn't fell yet. He wasn't talking about an upper room experience when he felt a fire inside him. And he said, I can't sit here. I can't keep my mouth shut. I just can't do it. That's because he had a burden. Yeah, he had a burden. You hear me? I'm telling you, there's been times in my life that I've had to take a time out. I've had to take a time out. You hear me? I've had to take a time out. But it never left me. The burden never left me. And I always felt like a junkyard dog when I should have been someplace and I couldn't get there. I always felt like a junkyard dog when I'd walk behind the pulpit and not be able to give them my best because I didn't feel well. I'm telling you, when you got a burden, when you got a genuine burden, you won't worry if your necktie is straight or sideways. You won't matter if your shoes match or not. You won't worry about having the biggest purse. It doesn't have to say Coach. It doesn't have to say Dooney and Burke. It doesn't have to say Longenberger. But I'm telling you what you do have to say. I've got a burden for God to touch me and God to move me and for God to send revival. And until we get that burden, we're going to agree with Brother Gabbard. And we're going to agree with Brother Billy Ray Hudson. And we're going to agree with Brother Neil Bridges. But we're not going to agree to the point that we're going to get up and do something about it. Last night in the service, Brother Bridges went from here to there to over here. And I remember distinctly, he came over to this area of the church and he walked back here a couple of rows. By then, he was like this while he was preaching to you. I mean, he started up there strong, tall, I mean, robust. I mean, we're talking one of the older preachers in our movement. But by the time he got over here, he was tired, he was panting, he was wet, he was hot, and he looked up, and what did he say? What did he say right here last night? What did he say? He said, could you help me preach? Did you hear me? He said, could you help me preach? And you know what that meant? You know what that meant to me? You know what that means to me? When I hear them guys get up there and say, could you help me preach? It means Brother Bridges was looking for somebody else in this service that had a burden. That's what he was looking for. He wasn't looking for an amen and somebody put another chalk in a feather in his hat or he can write down another camp meeting so he can list it sometime in the Holiness Messenger and see who's preached the most camp meetings, see who's preached the most youth camps, see who's preached the most revivals, or see who's been in the ministry the longest. This ain't a competition. We're not trying to keep score. We're trying to keep revival. We're trying to have a move of God. But we can't do it if you ain't got a burden. Did the young folks move up closer to the church, front of the church, just because I asked them to? Or did they move up closer because there's something in there that recognizes that the more obedient we are, the more chance we have of God sending us a revival? Yeah. Now listen, as far as a movement that I am a part of, you cannot, preacher down the road from me, pastor's a Pentecostal type church. I was in Walmart. It was a Wednesday night. I was grabbing something. I can't remember if I was having a surprise communion. Some folks stay home when you announce it. So sometimes you just set it up and you have it waiting on them when they come through the door. Here, eat this. It's good for you. You know what I mean? Don't you get up from the table until you drink your grape juice and eat this piece of bread. And so some of them won't even come when they know it's on the menu. What a burden. What a burden. Stew and work and plan and preach and put your whole day into it. Worry all afternoon about what you're going to say to your little church that's going to have 50 or 60 people in there. And when you get there, something as simple, as a yard that needs to be mowed can take people's burden and cause them to lay out of the house of God. It's an amazing thing. So the preacher down the road, I'm in Walmart, I'm fixing to check out. He's standing over there behind the counter, and he's already in a suit that would knock your eyes out at 20 paces. And I look over at him, and I say these words: "Have you got the bull in the pen?" Actually, we know what that means. Us preachers do. I mean, that means, have you got it? Have you got it? Have you got it? Do you know that you got the mind of God for the service? And that guy looked at me, and he said, "I don't preach on Wednesday nights." He said, "In fact, that's what I'm in here for right now. We show movies, and we show DVDs of gospel singings on Wednesday nights." He said, "All the kids are out back playing volleyball and tennis, or they're in the activity center playing with video games. And so I just have the adults sitting out there in the congregation." Why, sure, that's all we got, is our children that are adults, and they're sitting out there in the congregation. And since they don't come to church with a burden, and the pulpit don't know how to make a burden, we just buy us a DVD player and pull the screen down, and we watch home movies and watch gospel singing on Wednesday nights. That's okay. That's okay. That's okay. His ladies come to church in pants. It's a common, ordinary style for them, and that's okay. That's okay. That's okay. I can't do anything about that. I can't do anything about that. But I tell you what does really trouble me is when we come to church looking right, we wouldn't put a video player here and show the cathedrals if they'd been dead for 450 years. We wouldn't do that. We would never do that. We would never do that. Why? Why? Because we don't believe in that. We don't think that. Why? Why? Well, because Brother Gabbard preaches against it. Brother Hyde preaches against it. Why? Come on, I'm trying to get that why out of you. Why? Why, when we come into the house of God, do we sing and do we worship and do we beg you to raise your hands and seek the face of God? Why? I'm telling you why. We know that it takes a burden to have revival. And when you lose the burden, you have to show home movies. When you lose a burden, when you lose the burden, young folks, when you lose the burden, you know what churches have to do? They have to get entertaining ministries to get the crowd, to keep people coming. Yeah. Hey, listen. It's okay. I mean, our lives, Brother Tabor, our lives was the road and churches and youth camps. And I mean, it was, still is. I love the day slot. I really do. I love the day slot. I'm telling you, I'm about to start putting my application back in a youth camp. I mean, I love the day slot, but I do recognize, and I've talked about this to some of the guys. sometimes I can't decide. Now watch it. I really don't want to raise this wood to shade, but I have to before you get this. Sometimes, Brother Randy, Brother Don, I can't decide if they need our ministry, if they need our burden, or if they just want to make sure when we get there, I'm carrying a ladder. I don't think you got that. I don't think you got that. Sometimes I can't decide if they call us. I can't decide if they call Brother Gabbard. I can't decide if they call us because they know that when we come through the door, we're going to have a burden. Or if they call us because they know that in the course of a congregation, there's going to be times that we laugh. And there's going to be moments that we feel a little goosebump every now and then. And we get them because they're good to draw a crowd. Oh, God. I'm going to tell you something. I've been at the Calvary Pentecostal Tabernacle, me and my sweetheart, for 20 years. We ain't got a crowd. We ain't got a crowd. 50, 60, 70, 61 last Sunday with several people out, including me and her. I like that. I mean, I'm their spiritual leader, ain't I? But look, I ain't got a crowd there. I don't have a crowd there. You know, I ain't got a crowd there. I mean, there's people in town that knows me. There's people of other denominations that talk to us. There's the Methodist church that Sunday school teacher had prayer every week for my wife when she had that tumor in the back of her mouth. The Methodist church. And I don't think I'm going to win the Methodist church. And I'm not so sure that I'm going to pack out Calvary row to row and wall to wall. But I tell you this one thing. When I walk into that little church, and I stand there in front of them people who are not there because of my shenanigans. They're there because that's home church. And that's their tabernacle. And that's where they call home. And they want to see God save their children. And they want to see God move in our midst. That kind of burden right there attracts me. You hear me? That attracts me. I'm not attracted that you can quote Strong's Concordance frontward and backward. I'm not attracted by that. I'm not attracted that you know more Greek than the Olive Garden. I'm not attracted by that. I'm not attracted by how many Hebrew words. I'm not attracted by that. You know what I'm attracted by? Somebody that'll come into the house of God with a burden, and the next thing you know, somebody's getting the Holy Ghost. Somebody's getting saved. Somebody's getting healed. Somebody's getting touched by the power. And you don't have that when you don't bring a burden. Billy Ray Hudson, yesterday, walked up here on this platform, stood back here behind this desk, unleashed a message that he had from the same place that Brother Gabbard had. I know them guys called each other. I know they did. You can't trust Brother Gabbard and Billy Ray Hudson. You can't do it. You can't do it. They you can't do it. They called each other and they had that down pat. So when they come to church, they could act like that it was God. But really and truthfully, they had that planned since last August. Now, if you believe that, you also probably believe that the golden goose that lays the golden eggs is out on the front lawn. And if you do, you're welcome to go find out. And if she's there, come and get me, you sorry outfit. I thought of it in the first place. But But what happened? What happened? What happened? Brother Gabbard walked up here behind his pulpit and launched into revival. And Gillery Hudson walked up here, opened up his Bible, and looked at Brother Gabbard and said, "Did you preach on this? Is this what you preached?" And it wouldn't have mattered. It wouldn't have mattered if Obama had preached. It wouldn't have mattered if Obama had preached on it. It wouldn't have mattered if George Bush had preached on it. It wouldn't have mattered. Billy Ray Hudson would have took the text anyway. You know why? Because when he got here, he walked through the door with a burden. It was a burden on his heart, and he wanted God to do something for us. He didn't care if it happened in the day service. He didn't care if it happened in his service or the night service. What he cared about was God moving, and that's what a burden is for. Young folks, turn your cell phones off and bring a burden. You hear me? Sisters, don't worry about everybody getting the same blue jean skirt at Cato. Just keep buying skirts and come with a burden. Men, don't worry about the Dillard sale when suits are half price and another 50% off. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. Visit a few thrift stores, and you'll even pick up a good pair of shoes every now and then. But when you come to the house of God, when you come to the house of God, we do not need a fashion show. We need a burden. We need a bunch of old timers that would work in the field till the sun went down and jump on the old buckboard wagon and roll down to the old brush arbor and stay there half the night and have an old-fashioned move of God because they had a burden. They didn't have a new car. They didn't have a new truck. They didn't have somebody making their payments for them, but they had a burden. And you know what the burden helped them with? It helped them through depression. It helped them through drought. It helped them when the baby was being born in the back of the house and the doctor was 50 miles away. I'm telling you, you have a burden in the presence of God, and God will give you that revival. You got to have it. You hear me? You got to have it. You got to have it. Now listen, I want to get dumb here. Take liberties that I shouldn't take. Sweetheart, sitting there crying. I need you to help me, baby. I need you to help me just a second. Is this too heavy? Is it, can you carry that for me? I'm good. You couldn't hear. Is that too heavy for you?
I'm good.
We're not talking about the weight of this thing. We're just talking about, have we got what it takes to carry it? And she's good. She's good with that. You hear me? She's good. Thank you, sweet. She's good with that. I mean, would, there's some, Brother Bridges, Brother Gabbard, you know some of them guys as well as I do. If you walked up and told them, take this ladder and go to the pulpit with it, They couldn't do that for $1 million. They couldn't do it. It don't go with the outfit. It don't go with the outline. It don't go with their little freeze-dried message. And they're not having revival either. Oh, God, I'd rather go to the pulpit without a sermon and have a burden and watch God bless the church. Now, I'm not going to embarrass him. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Brother Horton, how's your tooth? Your tooth, you get it fixed? You put a gold crown on there? Oh, there's a goose out on the front lawn you ought to go check out. Last night in the service, Brother Bridges had one focus and one thing on his mind. He had that burden to reach out there for the lost. Now I want you to watch him. I want you to watch him. Because I'm going to mention something that I don't even know if he even thought about it while he was up there. I thought about it. You know what I was thinking about when he was up there preaching about Gomer? While he was up there preaching about this terrible thing that had transpired in that family. You know what I was thinking about? I was thinking about Randy Webb. Now get quiet. Now get quiet. And I even to Brother Gabbard, have had a few moments where just in the back of my mind, it come out something like this. Well, I tell you what I'd do. I tell you what I would do. And I glanced over there and I looked at him. Well, Brother Bridges was preaching, and he was sitting over there crying. And I decided right then and there that I'm going to quit telling you what I do. I'm going to quit telling you what I do. I'm going to quit it. I'm going to quit it. I'm just going to come into the house of God and carry my burden and try to help him carry it. I got two arms here. I got two arms here. I could do that. I walked up to him again today. I knew last night. And again, I conversed with some of the fellas. You see, my brother Don is just, you know, he normally comes rolling in the door. No offense. Little offense. Pretty big fence, if you ask me, but he usually comes rolling in the door. Rolling in, you know. But, you know, first thing out of his mouth, want me to paint your ceiling? You know, first thing out of his mouth, how's everything going? Fine, I got a bunch of books out in the trunk of the car. Yeah, I know you do, you sorry outfit. I know you do. Last night he come through the door. What'd you, nothing, neighbor, what, yeah, service is over. Where's brother, I can't find him. Where in the world is he at? And I was afraid that he wasn't going to be here this morning. I was afraid he wasn't going to be here this morning. And I tell you, I was afraid that I wished he could be here this morning, because it just seems to me like that I see in his eyes and on him, and I mentioned it, and we've talked about it. Seems like he's just got a burden. And so I tell you what I'm going to do. Don, you call me. Call me. I mean, call me. Get in a big bind. Call me, collect. Call me. Ask me. See if I can. I'll give it my best shot. I don't have 6 messages for your church. And I don't have a 4-point outline. But I tell you what I do have. I have a burden for him. I don't preach. I don't preach like Brother Gabbard. Really. I mean, you could tell. I don't preach like he had pickle juice this morning. Got it all over his shirt. Look at the greens. But listen, I don't preach like him. I don't preach like Brother Bridges. I don't even like great big bodies of water. I just think again about that message the other night and feel queasy. Anybody got anointing oil and one of them Dramamines on you right now? We don't. But I'm telling you, we can come into a church where Brother Ralph Horton ain't even there when it starts. He's got tooth trouble. And I told Sister Dorsey, boy, she laid it on him this time. I mean, there's sometimes she can't reach him, but she's on her ladder this time. And pow! Just kidding you. But he's not even here. And he walks into the church, and people are on their feet. And people are being blessed. 3 preachers on the ticket, and every one of them so different. You can't hardly put them on anybody's scales. And yet the glory of God and revival is as close to falling as any camp meeting yet that we've ever had. How come? Because we came here with a burden. And I'm telling you, if I could get you, I don't even know why some people come to church. I don't understand it. I don't understand it, Rodon. I don't understand it when we have to beg and plead and ask you, don't you love the Lord? And don't you want to worship Him? And don't you? You ain't got a burden. You ain't got a burden. You ain't got a burden. Oh, can't you live holy? Can't you dress holy? Can't you girls quit going around with them unsaved boys? Can't you boys get your eyes on some holiness, virtuous young lady that's gonna compliment your home and not destroy it? And I tell you, we get parents of fighting us, and we get people at the back door. A few weeks back, I'd been on one of my gone streaks, and I ain't been gone as much this summer. I think the church now is praying for me to get a few more offerings until I go out and greet. But I walked in church one morning. We'd closed out somewhere and drove half a night. Got to the house Sunday morning, dead tired. Went straight to the shower. Went straight over to the house of God. Preach our guts out to a Sunday morning crowd. That evening, coming to church, and Don, one of the old fellers in the church, you know who he is, one of the older fellers in the church, looks up at me and says, "You just stopped by to collect your check?" Normally, I would take his buttons off and stuff them in that hollow cavity called a brain, and shake them up until they rattled, and hand him to one of the church babies so they could play with him while the service was going on. But what I did was, I turned around, killed, and then, Brother Bridges, I heard it. One of my older church preachers had got up out of his seat, and he walked back there to that gentleman, and he said, "Here, we don't talk like that to him." Did he do that because I'm making his car payment? No. He's done it because he got a burden. He got a burden. And that makes two of us. Woo! And buddy, if I can find just two or three with a burden, I got a Bible verse that says I can have revival. And I can have a move of God. I'm just looking. Boy, they had a move of God this year at Richlands. How come? Boy, they had a move of God one of them day services. How come? Feller on the front row reached over and picked up a ladder. What's that got to do with anything? It ain't got anything to do with anything, except you just got a visual picture of what it looks like to have a move of God. You gotta be willing. You gotta be willing to step out and grab a hold of that. Now I got one. I tell you what, I got one. I still got a burden here. I still got a burden. You mean you can still run and have a burden? Are you telling me you come to church with a burden and feel like running? I tell you what, if you come to church with a burden, you won't be able to stand still. You won't be able to. Father, oh God, oh God, oh God, you know what's going to happen today, Lord? That's right. Brother Gabbard's going to come in here this afternoon. They're going to give him the service. And then they're going to give it to somebody else. And we're going to watch the clock. And the closer to four it gets, and we're going to come in tonight. And the people who are entertained by Brother Neil Bridges' ministry, they're entertained by his preaching. They're entertained by the burden that he carries. I mean, they want him to preach like that. They want him to preach like that. And he will. And he'll walk out the door, and he'll walk over there, that stinking motorhome, and he'll lay down on a stinking bed in that stinking motorhome, exhausted, wore out, dehydrated, wondering why we didn't have a greater move of God than what we really had. And the answer will be, we didn't come to church to have one. It wasn't on our mind when we pulled up in the parking lot. We didn't walk in the door for that. We walked in the door to get in the bleachers and look down on that court and watch somebody else make a free throw. And I'm telling you right here, right now, in this very service, you could come out of there with your hands up. You could come down that aisle believing God. You could come down that aisle saying, oh, glory be to God. I have a burden for my boy. I have a burden for my marriage. I have a burden for my ministry. I have a burden for my young. I'm telling some little old teenage girl that probably doesn't have any idea what her future holds can sleep out of a pew right now, walk down toward the front of this church, just walk by and just kind of touch that little burden standing there and raise her hands, and God look through that window and say, you may not see a future, but I am seeing a prospect, and I'm going to send you a revival. Are you getting this? It's time to go eat dinner. I know what time it is. It's time for us to come out of there with our hands up and have a revival. Not just a few nights. Take it home with you. Do we really need Brother Bridges to kill himself another night? Or do we need a revival? Do we really need Brother Gabbard to step up here behind his pulpit and preach his guts out another afternoon? Or do we really need a revival? Do we really need another number? Do we really need me? Do we really need me to play another number on my saxophone? Or do we really need a revival? I tell you what, I vote for revival. I vote for revival. I vote for it. I vote for revival. If I don't get up behind this pulpit another morning in this meeting, I didn't just come to get behind this pulpit. I came with a burden. I was trying to get you to feel it. I'll carry it. I'll get involved. I'll sing when I don't feel like singing. I'll holler hallelujah when I don't feel like hollering. When Brother Bridges says, is there anybody here that'll help me preach? I'll get up with him. I'll holler amen and glory to God. We're not trying to tickle our own egos. We're trying to have a revival. And to do that, you gotta have a burden. What'd you come to camp meeting for? Well, actually, I left Blair and came over half the United States because I had a burden to get up and preach on revival. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. We need men like that. We need men like that. Song service last night, standing across the front of this church, singing so good that I couldn't hardly stand it. And the next thing I know, I look up, and one of the fellers is running around the church. Oh, God, I need some more of that guy. I need some more of him right there. We need some more of that right there. I mean, old Dryden Rhodes showed up here, runs around these pews and grabs that ladder and runs around these pews. Oh, glory be to God. He ain't doing that for his health. He ain't doing that for you to spy out the sport coat he's got on. There's a burden in there someplace. And he just recognizes somebody needs to stir up the congregation. Somebody needs to run the aisle. Somebody needs to come around the pews with a glow of God on their face. That's a burden. Brother Hyde, do you need your wife at the piano? No, I need her. I need her with a burden. I need her with a burden. What I need. I need her with a burden. Are you worried about what they give the day speaker at Richlands? Nope. Nope. I'm worried about getting up here behind this pulpit without a burden. Without a burden. In fact, sorry preaching like this. I ought to give more in their offering. Burden. Burden. How do you keep evangelizing when your congregation sometimes has six or seven people out there? You do it with a burden. That's how you do it. How do you keep pastoring Brother Gallagher 70 years down the road? How do you keep doing that? You do it with a burden. How does Brother Neil Bridges still preach to this day like he did in the Allentown days when his youth and his backbone was tall and he wasn't bent over with the stress and the age of life? He's kept his burden. He's kept his burden. Oh, God. Brother Gabbard will get up behind his pulpit today if it's God's will and preach as good as he's ever preached. Because every one of us has got a different focus. We want a burden. We want our burden to show. We want our burden to shine. Oh, glory be to God. Dad, if your kids are in here, I'd get up from where my head is buried. I'd ease over there by my boy, and I'd lay my hands on his shoulder, and I'd ask God to give him a burden. I don't want this to sound crazy, and we are not trying to get some kind of teenage idol going. But I'm telling you, it wouldn't be too bad for some of the young folks in this church to get a burden, to follow closer to Brother and Sister Horton, to get a burden, to follow closer to Brother Randy, to get a burden and be a better member down there at Bond. It wouldn't hurt us. It wouldn't hurt us to come to church tonight with such a burden that when these guys on the platform start singing, it breaks out in the back of the church, moves all the way down to the front of the church, and men and women are on their feet glorifying God, not because we told them to, and not because the song was fast. They did it because they had a burden, and they know that's where revival comes from. When the revival hits and the healing rolls through the door, it'll be because people had a burden. Oh. God. Oh, God. Oh, hallelujah. I'd lift my voice. If it hair-lipped hell right now, I'm telling you, I'd pray with a burden. I'd throw my head back and I'd look at that ceiling. If everybody in the church had opportunity to examine my tonsils, I would worship with a burden. I wouldn't make this another little freeze-dried altar visit where we slip out the side door. I'd lean back with a burden and watch revival fall right where you're kneeling. Watch revival fall until the fires of Jeremiah kindle in your own soul, and you can't sit there another minute. You can't kneel there another minute. You got to make a rung up the ladder. You find yourself standing. Then you find yourself leaping. Then you find yourself reaching. And before you know it, the church has busted out in revival because somebody wasn't happy where they were at. They wanted more of God. Young men, I want you to act like it's youth camp. I want you to act like that it's tied 8-8. I wanted you to act like you're just about to close out the game. I want you to act like the home run slugger in your youth group is behind the plate. And I want you to act like right now that there is the wind up in the pitch and the ball has been hit and it's fixing to go plumb over the gate. I want you to act like right now in the presence of God the way you would act if you was outside in blue jeans and tennis shoes having a ball game that you just won. Because I'm telling you, boys, we're winners. I tell you, girls, we're winners. I tell you, preachers, we're winners. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Oh, you watch us. Watch us raise the decibels. Watch us turn the volume up. Watch us get louder with our glory and our hallelujah. Watch us until the enemy fades and doubt fades and the troubles that you brought to church fades and all you can hear is yourself in the presence of God hollering, hallelujah, I believe in revival. Oh, don't miss service. Oh, don't miss service tonight. Oh, don't miss service. 3/4 of the congregation are going to come walking through that door. They're going to come in this door and they're going to find him a seat and they're going to sit down and they're going to wait for the show to begin. But those of you in the house of God right now are going to come through that door and they're going to recognize that it's already begun. Revival has already started. And we don't have to wait for somebody else to kick it off. And 3/4 of the congregation is going to watch the burden of a fourth of them as God moves through the congregation and people are blessed. Oh, God, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. And baptize everyone. Let the glory and the Spirit of the Lord. Woo! I want Brother Gabbard to preach better than he can. And Brother, I want Brother Horton to run a service better than he can. And for I want us to, woo! I want the choir to sing better than they can. Oh, God, sing with a burden. Preach with a burden. Have camp meeting with a burden. Come to the services with a burden. Pick up your guitar with a burden. Wave your hand with a burden. Clap your hand, holler hallelujah with a burden. Just have a burden and watch God look down and say, every man's got to carry his. Every man's got to have a burden. And the ones of you that do shall be anointed with fresh oil. Every one of you that has a burden shall be anointed with fresh oil. I'll visit. is it those that come to my sanctuary with a burden? Oh God, the battles that Brother Don Ingram are fighting right now, but the burden resting upon our shoulders, send revival to his situation. Oh God, I don't want Randy's hands to get heavier. I don't want his arms to get heavier. I don't want his load to get heavier. I want to be able to reach over there and grab some of that burden and watch revival. Sweep his soul. Touch his children. Move through his congregation. Oh God. Oh, glory be to God. Preachers here at the tabernacle, you're not in competition, boys. You're not in competition. We don't have to see who can be up the longest and who can talk the loud. We're not in competition. No, we're not. We're all carrying that same ladder. Hallelujah. And I don't care who carries it, just as long as it's in the building. I just want God to know it's there. Oh, thank you, Lord. 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 Oh, thank you, Lord.